Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
Alyssa Thomas, who happens to be African-American, grabbed Angel Reese by the throat and threw her to the floor. The reason why that doesn't spark as much conversation, it's because it's a black-on-black incident.
I talked about how angry I am about national media, which only wants to write about analytics and doesn't want to get into substantive things that are sensitive.
Yep, that's what we needed. WNBA, make sure Bob Costas had something to say. Wilbon having trouble spitting it out there. Wonderful. They are tackling the sensitive issues.
Every show does it.
Not every show, but lots do.
I mean,
and even more podcasts do.
Yeah, but I mean, the drama is what fuels the whole thing. Like, nobody's talking X's and O's. I mean, I guess some.
Well, I love Wilbon's assertion. Something happened like 3 weeks ago. He went on some rant about exit velocity, and I was like, who talks? What did you listen to? Did you listen to like the 98th MLB podcast where they're hardcore on, or some, they had someone in a special spot on baseball? Like, what are you talking about? Analytics.
I don't understand.
It's a small part of the conversation. Most of these sports talk shows are, by the way, you can't have it both ways. You can't be Kornheiser and Wilbon and basically say, hey, we're above the fray and we speak intelligently. Then someone does analytics and you're like, oh, they're not hitting the hot topics. What do you want? Miles Simmons is with us. Miles, that's not an intro, but how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. Good. Yeah, you know, I will say this, though. I'm one of the people, I like exit velocity, you know?
You
I like knowing how fast it's coming off the bat. I think that's kind of fun. Like, there were a couple weeks ago, it was like Aaron Judge hit one, like, or maybe it was Giancarlo Stanton, one of the two, but they hit a home run that was like 119 off the bat. And I'm like talking about it with my friends, because one of them's a Yankees fan, and like, I was like, dude, I can't even do that in MLB The Show. Like, the fastest you get is, like, 114. Like, so, I don't know. Like, to me, that's cool. If Giancarlo Stanton does something like that, like, yeah, I kind of want to know that.
If you like it, you like it. Okay.
Yeah.
Spend a couple seconds on it. Relax,
all the other
old curmudgeon.
Stuff, like, the OBP plus, like, or the OPS plus, like, some of that other stuff, like, that means absolutely nothing to me. You know, I think OPS on base plus slugging like that, yeah, that's a good one. You know, and that means more than batting average now, all that. Like, I get that. But once we get into, like, XWAR, like, all that other stuff, like, you know, we got to have a point where it's a limit, you know?
Bro, are you doing a bit right now? What the hell's going on here? We set this up. Wilbon's mad, and you're like, hey, I'm going to do a minute on this now. That was great. Good job.
Well, thank you. Hey, you know.
Hey, Mike, up yours. Miles Simmons has something to say. He went to Columbia. How about that?
Yeah, you know.
You mean the school, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I always love to weaponize everyone else's Ivy League education.
Yes,
why not?
Yes, yes.
He's on our show. He's smart.
I am. Every week. No.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I want to get to the focus of that conversation, but enough's enough. WNBA is going to have to wait 15 minutes. We got a lot of NFL to get to. Very important stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened today.
Well, a lot of contract stuff, and frankly, I'm going to have to scramble here to find out what happened today. But let's start off with, I saw Tyreek Hill doing what you should do as a wide receiver, saying, hey, where is Tua's money? But he can't be serious. In the system that we have now, there are layers to when you need to be giving out contracts. And by the way, I'll give a side note. I think Tyreek better look around at his contract and make sure that he stops Shaq and a fool away from the team, because they just signed Jalen Waddle to Tyreek Hill money.
They did, but you know, Tyreek Hill then would go to the next tier of contract, right? I mean, I wouldn't, if I were Miami, pay Tyreek Hill $140 million like the Vikings just did with Justin Jefferson, right? I mean, Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in football, and I think he does things that pretty much nobody else can do, right? You can, you know, look at the stats and say, oh, C.D. Lamb's got an argument all you want, but then it's like, well, do you remember the fact that Justin Jefferson missed almost half the damn season last year, and he still had 1,000 yards? I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill, I think, once said to a reporter, you know, I could get 1,000 yards with you, bro. Like, that's Justin Jefferson. I mean, he plays a full season, and it's one of the three of us playing quarterback. He could probably still get, you know, 1,500 yards. So, like, that's why you pay him that money. Now, Tyreek Hill, yeah, he belongs in that top tier of receiver, and I think, you know, when you have Drew Rosenhaus coming out and saying, hey, the Dolphins know what we want, Tyreek Hill basically says the same thing, and it's like, all right, at a certain point, yeah, they've got to do something to adjust that contract because the market has shifted. And that's the other interesting thing about Tagovailoa, right? I mean, he's a guy who went through the season healthy for the first time last year, led the league in passing yards. Now, that's not everything because, you know, Jared Goff once led the league in passing yards, but he was also turning the ball over. So, like, passing yards isn't everything, but I think, and this is what Tyreek Hill was saying, we've seen the progression from Tagovailoa, right? We have. It's obvious that he's gotten better. He works very well with Mike McDaniel. And at this point, he probably is a $50 million a year quarterback. That's the reality of the market, especially because Jared Goff is getting paid north of $50 million a year at this point, too. So when you look at it like that, yeah, I agree with Tyreek Hill that Tagovailoa has certainly earned a second contract. But at the same time, usually, and I think you were alluding to this, Steve, usually these contracts get done in July, August, not necessarily April, May, June, right? And if that's I don't know why that's the way it is. I mean, but it is the way it is. And you know, I've been doing this for 10 years now. So it's like that's usually when these kinds of contracts for quarterbacks get done. So I would anticipate that something will happen either before training camp or early on in training camp for the Dolphins and Tagovailoa.
Talking to Miles Simmons. Miles, you made a good point. I want to go back to the wide receivers just for a second. With CeeDee Lamb, and I don't know if anybody brought this up, but I know watching the games, the Cowboys games, he spends a lot of time in the slot, spends a lot of time against linebackers. I mean, I think Reddick was covering him for a while in an Eagles game last year. Mm-hmm. Is there anything in there maybe that he wouldn't get as much money because he's not, you know, he's not really like the premier outside receiver like Justin Jefferson is?
Well, he's not as dynamic, right? I think that if you're talking about, you know, really, really dynamic receivers that are on the outside and that are utilized in certain ways, you're talking about Ja'Marr Chase, right, as also being in one of those tiers. You know, I would say Tyreek Hill, obviously, is in that tier based on his speed and what he can do and how he can elevate. I would not necessarily classify CeeDee Lamb in that tier, and that's not necessarily a big insult, right? I think he's one of those players where, yeah, he lines up in the slot. Yeah, he can run a slant route and then take it to the house if you don't tackle him. And I think he is one of those kinds of guys where if the more you feed him, the better off he's going to be. I mean, there was a game that the Cowboys played against the Chargers either last year, 2 years ago. I can't quite remember. But I was there at SoFi Stadium, and it was just like, man, you need to get CeeDee Lamb the ball more. I mean, that's a guy that should be getting 12 to 15 targets probably every single game because he can catch the ball and he can do something explosive with it. But I think, you know, when you're talking about, you know, is he that premier dynamic guy that you line up on the outside and you just say, all right, yeah, we know he's going to make a play on the 50-50 ball. No, not necessarily. But I think that there still is something there where he's going to get paid, maybe not in terms of the top tier, right? But yeah, like in that next tier down. And I would say this is the same for a Brandon Ayuk. You know, he's the same kind of guy where you can feed him, he's going to do well.
Is there any chance we see CeeDee Lamb not next year, but eventually somewhere else? I mean, is this because Jerry's dragging his feet on Dak, he's dragging his feet on this. At some point, or is this going to bite the Cowboys?
I'm fascinated by everything that's going on with the Cowboys right now because this is setting up for it to be a quote-unquote last dance. I mean, can you really have a last dance if you haven't won a championship? But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that, like, that's the thing, right? There, Dak is in the last year of his contract. Mike McCarthy going into the last year. You know, Micah Parsons is in a contract situation at this point. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be playing elsewhere. But things could shift dramatically for the Cowboys if this season does not go well. I mean, and by that, I mean, like, you know, if you don't go further into the playoffs or if you miss the playoffs, or imagine if the Cowboys start out 1-4, 1-5. I mean, how loud is that going to be for Mike McCarthy and all of the different players that are there? So this is, it's a, I guess a better way of putting it would be it's a put up or shut up kind of year for the Cowboys, because if they don't put up, then a lot of changes are probably going to happen going into 2025.
Who do you think's the next big wide receiver to get a contract in, since we're talking about this already with the wide receivers? I mean, who's the next big contract coming? Is there anybody else that maybe will be in between CeeDee Lamb and the Dallas Cowboys where he's even bigger contract?
Yeah, you know, Ja'Marr Chase would be one where you would think that the Cincinnati Bengals would want to be proactive and get that done. And Ja'Marr Chase has said, you know, hey, I want to see what Justin Jefferson gets before I go and I try to get my contract too. But I think the way the Bengals operate, we're not going to see that happen. I mean, A, you've got T. Higgins going into this year who has had a trade request, but then he says he's going to be okay with playing for the Bengals. And the Bengals have shown absolutely no urgency in trying to get a deal done with him. And I don't think that they will. I mean, they did this basically say the same thing with Jesse Bates a couple years ago, the safety who ended up down in Atlanta as a free agent last year. But it was, okay, yeah, let's play out this last year. You know, Jesse Bates didn't report to the team until midway through training camp, mid-late August, signed the franchise tender, and then plays that 1 year, and then he's gone. I can absolutely see the same thing happening with T. Higgins just based on the way they do business there and because they also know that they have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. And so, like I said, I mean, if I were them, I would want to be proactive, but that does create an awkward situation if you're not going to pay T. Higgins and you do pay Ja'Marr Chase, right? Right. Like that's gonna be a little bit weird if you don't, you know, either pay him or trade him in T. Higgins.
Talking to Miles Simmons, Miles Thielen came out about the Panthers facilities. Adam Thielen saying that they're pretty much trash. I was wondering, like, how important do you think that is to have a good facilities? Is that something that can affect a team? That can affect actual wins and losses on a team?
Yes and no. I think so. I'll say this. I mean, having worked for the Rams, like that's one of the worst facilities in football too, because it's literally modular trailers, and they're moving now into another facility of modular trailers than the one that they've had since they moved here in 2016. So they don't have a permanent facility. And what did they do a couple years ago? Well, they won the Super Bowl, right? They've been one of the better teams in the league since 2017 when Sean McVay got there. So does it matter? It's helpful in some ways, you know, when you know that you can go into the facility and you've got pretty much everything you could ever want or need. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, it's not an excuse for not winning. I'll put it like that. And Thielen said that too. But, yeah, it's one of those things that, yeah, it can enhance things and it can help you. But, I mean, the Raiders also have, you know, one of the absolute best facilities in football. And, well,
I think it helps with free agents. You know, I think as guys get older, they want nice facilities. We saw the Chiefs players, they kind of did it anonymously, and then, you know, the owners found out that they think they're cheap asses, so their facility kind of stinks, and they don't upgrade it.
Exactly. And what have they done? They've won the last two Super Bowls. So it's like, you know, like I said, it certainly doesn't hurt. You know, I think the other thing that helps with free agency is taxes, right? So that's something that obviously helps you in Nevada when you're not paying state income tax. So, you know, those two things can definitely help the Raiders attract free agents in the future. But the other thing about that is winning. And then obviously the average annual value of a contract, that's pretty much the most important thing a lot of the times players say when they're going into free agency and what are they looking for.
So Darren Waller is done with the taxes in New York and New Jersey. That's not it. That's not it, is it?
Well,
no, he's got a lot. He's got lot more going on, and it sounds sources are saying that he's ready to walk.
I mean, yeah, and I guess that makes sense. You know, he hasn't been a part of the offseason program all year. And Darren Waller, I mean, God bless him. His story is really incredible, and it's one of redemption. And I think he is to be commended for all the things that he has done to improve his life. But Lord have mercy, please do not release any more rap videos, bro. Like, just like, if you're gonna quit your day job, like, don't shift to that. Like, go be a motivational speaker, but don't sing or rap or whatever the hell that was. That was awful.
What a mess of a team now, though, on offense. Your quarterback's uncertain. Now, I don't know what's gonna happen, if it's the kid Bellinger who's from Vegas, is it Theo Johnson? So now they've got a weakness at tight end, so.
Yeah.
Giants continue to be in a rebuilding mode. I know the fans of New York don't like that, and they were getting all worked up over the Mets this last week. Like, if you say you're going to rebuild and it's clear you're rebuilding, then just deal with the pain. NBA Finals. What's your favorite angle on these finals? Tell me why you're fired up for the Celtics and Mavs.
I really enjoy watching Luka play. I do not like Boston sports or really Boston in general. Like, the Patriots, weirdly, are the least offensive team to me in that area. Yeah, I don't really know why, but yeah, I like to see the Celtics lose. I like to see the Red Sox lose. I don't, you know, the Bruins, sure, they can lose too. Let's throw them in there, although I'm not the biggest hockey guy in the world. So I just want the Celtics to lose. That's one of the things. But having this I guess, redemption arc from Kyrie Irving. Also weird as a native Clevelander, you know? And, like, yeah, I saw LeBron say today that, oh, man, I wish that he was still my running mate, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, you know, there were other things at play there. You know?
That was harmonious. Come on now. In good times it was, but other times not so much.
Well, no, and like the last season, I remember there were reports that LeBron and Kyrie played together. So this is 2017 when they went to the finals, and like Kyrie wasn't even talking to people in the building, like not during the playoffs. Like, what are you doing? What's your problem, bro? And so Kyrie Irving, I think, to his credit, has matured, right? And he was talking about this the other day, you know, where last time, you know, he was there and he was with Brooklyn, he was flipping the bird and doing all this stuff. And I don't think we're going to see that. But I think the other thing that helps him is that Luka is the best player on that team. And so when Kyrie can be second fiddle, Kyrie can be great and he can get in where he fits in. He is a much better sous chef than he is executive chef. And I think that played out that way with LeBron. I think when he went to Boston and he had to be the top guy, when he went to Brooklyn and he had to be the top guy, things didn't work for a reason. And now that he's playing with Luka, yeah, he's mature, but he also knows himself better. That's going to make him a better player. It's why he has not necessarily been the most aggressive scorer in the first half of games, right? Where he can go out and say, all right, well, let's see what we're doing. Let's get in where we fit in. And then, oh, well, there's an opportunity for me in the second half. Let's go. Let's take over. So those are the things that are interesting. But I think, you know, if the Mavericks come out and they win this series, and I really do hope they do, I think Luka is going to be the face of the NBA. And I think that is very, very interesting.
Do you think the Kyrie story is kind of funny because of the fact that he kind of, I'm not saying he did anything horrible, but he kind of created his own problems? You know, so it's kind of like this thing where it's like, oh, yeah, he's getting back at the NBA for, you know, what they did to him. And it's like, I mean, not really.
Right. Yes. This was a stuff of his own making. Like I said, I mean, he was cantankerous and, you know, just not a good teammate with the Cavs in his last year there. And so that's what really forced the Cavs' hand into trading him. And then that's why LeBron left. And I want LeBron to come back and have J.J. Redick as head coach, but that's not really what we're talking about. So, yeah, I think it's this whole, like, thing of Kyrie, oh, he's getting back. Like, is he really? I mean, because, like you said, it was of his own making and it was of his own creation. So now the fact that, yeah, he can go and he can do this stuff, like I said, it's more about him maturing, I think, than anything else. But is it really revenge? I don't know if it's revenge when you were the problem.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter. All right, let's go back to where we started the beginning of this block, and that was with some comments from Bob Costas talking about aggression between black versus black basketball players. No one cares. It's not a sexy enough topic. Doesn't create headlines. And then Mike Wilbon saying, patting himself on the back, that it's time to talk race. It's time to not, you know, let's get away from being babies. Let's tackle these big topics. So you buy in either one of them? Where are you now? I feel like every week we have a new update, new layer to the Caitlin Clark story. The latest one was her getting knocked to the floor in a game and then Angel Reese on the sideline going, yeah!
Well, and the thing about this to me is that, and Angel Reese basically alluded to this, right, when she was talking to the media. She said that Caitlin Clark is not the only player that people go and watch. And, you know, I think that basically what she's saying is there's only so many times that everybody can say this person is the only one who matters before we react. And that's not Caitlin Clark's fault. It's not. I mean, look, she's really good at her job. You know, she is a very good basketball player. She does draw eyeballs. But I think, you know, when you keep going to work every single day and then you come home from work and people keep telling you, you don't matter, you don't matter, you don't matter. Well, that's going to be really frustrating. And I think as a professional athlete and as somebody who is competitive, right, these women are going to say, man, I don't buy that. I don't believe that. And I'm going to react to it. And I think anybody who is human would react to it. And it's unfortunate that then it gets taken out on Caitlin Clark in kind of an aggressive way. But also, man, Caitlin Clark, where are your teammates? Come on, Indiana Fever. If somebody's going to knock down the person that's supposedly your best player, you got to be right there and get in people's face.
Yep.
And you got to defend your player, right? You've got to defend your teammate. So that's one issue that I took with the Indiana Fever in this whole thing. It's like, well, where are you guys? You know, if people are going to give a cheap shot, then that means you need to have some sort of attitude toward that where you got to say, this is not going to fly. If you're going to be, if you're going to come out here and try to be that aggressive against our player, then we're going to come out here and we're going to hit you right back in the mouth. So that's what I'd like to see going forward from the Fever if this is going to keep on.
Important questions to close out. One, are you invited to or having any, I'll go with the right terminology, cookouts this month? Don't call it a barbecue. Anything on the horizon for you?
Well, I'm going to be out of town for basically like the next week and a half. I'm going, and this is going to sound very braggy, especially, and I realize this, and you brought up where I went to school, so this is why. I'm going to France for a wedding this weekend.
Excuse us.
A destination wedding in France.
A destination wedding in France. I mean, like, this is, it's going to be a long, long day.
Are they being married by Rudy Gobert?
Why does it have to be in, what's the connection of France? What's going on here?
My friend's wife is from this region in the south of France, and that's where they're having their wedding ceremony.
Yeah, that's acceptable.
Yeah. Wow. And then I'm going to Bonnaroo next week, so that's a little bit less, you know, hoity-toity.
Well, I was kind of leading towards
a
beer question. Would you, PBR has a new 180-pack. Would you bring it to Bonnaroo?
Hell yeah, I would. Okay. Delete those things.
What do you think the price on a 180-pack? Can we do the math real, like, should it be like $120?
I feel like it should be 100 for 180 if we're talking about the quality of PBR.
Wow. That's pretty cheap because that's not how cheap it is.
It is cheap. I know.
Used to
and
be,
I know
but not
it's
anymore.
2024, but yeah, I feel like that's what it should be.
Right, Miles.
But it's probably more like 120, 130, right?
Well, enjoy your time in France. That's a nice summer trip. Wow.
Okay. Oh, I know.
We'll see you, buddy.
I'll try. All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Miles.
He's like, okay, enough.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, you guys suck. Bye.
I was going to say, but meanwhile, laughing under his breath, like, poor schleps. Look, Griffin's laughing. Watch. I can't go. I'm going to ask Greg off the air what if he has a wedding coming up in France. We'll have you an update on the way back.
Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
Stephen A., respectfully, with your platform, you could have been doing this 3 years ago if you wanted to.
Wow. All right, we got to go. You guys.
So did you
know you're my
show?
Guy, but.
Who does more than
Stephen A., I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you.
Wow.
Don't do that. I'm talking to you about the power that you have.
Okay.
I'm talking to you.
Best topic in all sports. I'm telling you, man. People are fighting on the air over it. It's got racial stuff. It's got male versus female. It's got politics involved. It's crazy. Adam and I yell about it almost every day because he's trying to pull this bit about the most important thing is Caitlin Clark's efficiency. And I'm like, I don't care. It doesn't matter at this point. Like, take your victory lap. She's not as good as I thought she'd be coming in. But there's so many layers to this. And WNBA basketball right now is hot as a pistol. I mean, we've got the story on the floor, which wait until we start going down this path, right? Of getting on the Aces for not winning the right way. Now, they did lose against the Atlanta Dream. And by the way, there was a ton of jawing and stuff going on in that game. But sometimes the TV exposure in this league, mod on. I mean, it's like, come on. I'm gonna give you the schedule here in a second. But I want to remind people of a couple things. First of all, you don't have to worry about TV and finding the games if you go to the games. And we've got a hookup. Caller 7 right now. 4 tickets in the ESPN Fan Zone this Friday. Ace is back in town. They do play tomorrow. We'll give you details on that. But Seattle's in town, right? Skylar Diggins. Aces, Seattle, 7 o'clock tip, Mick Ultra Arena. It's brought to you by Westar Credit Union and Findlay Volkswagen Henderson. 4 tickets in the ESPN Fan Zone. Caller 7 right now, 364-1100. And you can grab tickets to the sold-out Aces for the entire season. We knew behind the scenes there was going to be a little block for every game. So AXS.com. Yeah, so I was just looking at, and we'll reference Stephen A. and Monica McNutt because I thought that was magical TV. And Stephen A. really got mad. And then he went on his own podcast and did like 35 minutes on his own. And then McNutt went right on with Shannon Sharp. I think this is great. But tonight's schedule, Washington and Connecticut are playing. 8-0 versus 0-8. Connecticut's really good. 55-43. They're leading that one. I think the Liberty and Chicago, the stupid CBS Sports scoreboard isn't listing NBA TV as a spot. We're trying to – we'll get these TVs on. Liberty's killing Angel Reese and Chicago, 29-14. But the Liberty are pretty good, and Chicago's still a developmental team. And then Phoenix and Seattle are coming up tonight, both right around 500. The geriatric Mercs with Griner and Taurasi. They're all good. No jealousy. Seattle, of course, the Storm with Skylar Diggins. I'll mention that five times because I'm going to mention DT and Diggins coming up in a little bit. So there's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on here. And I saw you sent over a story with let's address this. Is there something going on in the league with Caitlin Clark and the opposition? What do you think?
Of course. I mean, absolutely there is.
It's rookie hazing. This happens every year. Remember when Candace Parton? No, I don't.
I don't either.
And I don't care.
Yeah.
Because what I'm watching right now, right. It looks like the mission is go beat her up a little bit, send her a message.
Yeah. But it's like, put it in context, though. You know, they keep saying these things like, oh, there's a bunch of us playing and they're watching for all of us. And no, they're not. I mean, the numbers don't say that. I mean, if you go last year, 2023, the WNBA average attendance was about 6,600. Chicago this year is 8,000. I mean, that's a blip, maybe. Barely a blip.
It's up.
Okay.
It's up.
Okay.
I mean, this is a league where half the league averaged less than 5,000 tickets per game. And by the way, those 5,000 tickets oftentimes, I'll be nice and say 20% is papered.
All right, yeah.
So they had a lot of room to grow.
I've done comedy shows like that.
And there are markets, right?
Yeah.
There are markets that have seen improvement. I do believe Chicago has gotten a slight boost from having Angel Reese.
Here's my point, though. Yeah. 16,000 is what Caitlin Clark games are averaging this year. Yeah. That fever. I mean, that's twice any other, you know, that's twice of Angel Reese's team. It's so obvious what the reason is, and it just seems like people just want to – anything but that. They won't even mention her name. They talk around it. I mean, it's just...
it's funny. Miles Simmons was on, and he's like, oh, Angel Reese was talking about Caitlin Clark. Can you fire Reese viewers? Was she? Because I didn't... Did you hear Angel or Caitlin Clark in this bite?
People are talking about women's basketball, but you never would think that we'd be talking about women's basketball. People are pulling up to games. We got celebrities coming to games, sold-out arenas, like, just because of one single game. And just looking at that, like, I'll take that role. I'll take the bad guy role. The reason why we watching women's basketball is not just because of one person. It's because of me, too, and I want y'all to realize that.
But it's not.
By the way, no Caitlin Clark mentioned. So you can always hide behind, like, yeah. I just said one person. Just say Caitlin Clark.
Right.
And then you're annoyed she's getting all this attention. And I believe Angel Reese is helping a little bit? Yes.
Because of the drama with Caitlin Clark.
That it started back in college.
Yes. Yeah. And, I mean, it's just... It's so obvious the reason that and it doesn't even matter if she's good at this point. Does it matter if Caitlin Clark sucks? No.
No.
Because she's still selling out arenas. She's still, you know, the number one, I talked about this last time and I looked up again, I think it was like 4 out of 5 now, the top rated WNBA games ever are this year. Mm-hmm. And they're all Caitlin Clark games. So no, it's not everybody. And they're not watching everyone. They're watching Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. I saw someone say Angel Reese this year, 10 points per game, 35% shooting, 0 from 3. No. We're not watching the games for you.
And that's not – it's just – I mean, if somebody telling the truth, it's not a bad thing. I mean,
I think the rivalry that clearly existed and stopped denying that it existed, it did.
Yes.
With LSU and Iowa, it's carried over. And that a lot of people who watch college basketball were like, hey, this has the potential to be Bird and Magic. Now, I think Caitlin Clark ultimately will be a better player than Angel Reese, and I don't think Angel Reese has Bird or Magic. I think she's going to be maybe 13 points and 9 rebounds and kind of a, you know, a rough, tough player out there. Now, she is going to be a draw off the court because she does have a lot to say. She clearly has a nasty edge. I love it. I actually – the hard hit over the weekend, there was a couple things there. First of all, it wasn't that hard, but it was obvious. It was off the ball. What's the freaking point?
Yeah.
And Reese on the sidelines going, yeah!
Well, that,
I love that. I would do that if I didn't like someone.
But then admit
it. It's always just denial. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, it's kind of random. And then to your point, then there's so many stories. There's the other part of this where do the players on the Fever not like Caitlin Clark? Are they not accustomed to defending their teammates? I would have to imagine that. Aaliyah Boston defended someone during physical play at South Carolina. I mean, I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I don't know how you play basketball, but I have my limitations. So at that point, I'm dirty.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, if I'm in a competitive game and one of the best players on my team is getting knocked down, that Kennedy Carter is getting the ball in the face. No, I'm throwing it at her, and I'm suspended for a couple of games. So it's their behavior's a little bit weird. But maybe everyone is just kind of thrown off that this has gotten – it's gotten intense, but it's getting so much media scrutiny. And that's why I actually like what Angel Reese said at the start. She was talking about people are speaking about this game who've never spoken about it before. Overall, that's a good thing. Can I play you – like, I don't know if bits are happening or people are lost or, hey, it's their sport and I don't like what's happening now. This was L. Duncan yesterday getting all mad about what the discourse has been over the first couple of weeks.
The new fans are sucking the fucking life out of the WNBA right now. It's just the truth. You are right, new fans. There has never been more viewership because of Caitlin Clark. There's never been more attention. But you know what there was in the WNBA last year and the years prior? There was other storylines. There was joy. There was talk of competition. There was talk of what was actually happening on the court.
We talk about what happens on the court. I mean, I retweeted this. That lady doesn't care. But I was like, this is the most fun I've had talking basketball in years. And I love basketball. This is great. What do you mean? You're not having any joy? Talk about getting – is this a bit, maybe? Is it a bit on our part?
It has to be because I don't – isn't it a business, too? How is new fans bad?
Right.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever
and
heard
of. They're not all going to go away.
Yeah.
A lot who are watching are going to keep an eye on it and watch more games. This is good, man. And if you can't deal with drama, have you covered other sports? I know she has. She does SportsCenter. What are you talking about?
I mean, your number one draft pick is making, like, you know, fast food manager money. So, I mean, at some point, wouldn't you want the league to grow so that they can all, you know, have more money and be successful? Isn't that the point of this whole thing?
There's no other stories. There is.
I don't get it.
I mean, we've justified talking Aces basketball here for, like, 4 years now. There's other stories, and there will continue to be other stories now. A lot of the – listen, she works for a place and – you know, everyone who does a sports talk show, and then you talk about the TV talk shows who steal basically their format from us, they're going to play the hits. And this is a great thing that this has become a hit. This is pushing, at times, the NBA Finals off that topic list on the sidebar. Give me another one.
And all there is right now is a culture war. It is a them versus you, a you versus them. There is othering. It is gross. It is not fun. It is not engaging. There's no nuance in this situation anymore. So I'm done waiting for the next time because she's going to get fouled again, guys. The idea of talking about the W at this point, exhausting. I'm already exhausted, and we're a quarter of the way through the season.
I'm not. I'm energized.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're exhausted. This is the greatest time we've ever had in the league. I want to watch. I'm checking the scoreboard. I'm getting pissed off when it's not on TV. I think she's in the bubble.
It has to be.
You can't see what's happening from the outside. I talk about it so much. I crap you not. I'm upstairs working. Like I start looking at the stories, and I'm like getting all worked up. And I walk downstairs, and I say to my girlfriend, I'm like, Caitlin Clark. And she's like, enough about Caitlin Clark. I'm like, all right.
I'm gambling.
Like that. I'm jacked up every day.
No, I'm gambling with this reference. I have no idea if you're going to know what I'm talking about. But Albert Brooks made a movie where him and his wife spend their nest egg on a Winnebago, and they take off out into the wilderness, and they're supposed to have like, a great life. And he goes to a casino, and as he's upstairs in Vegas, his wife gambles their entire nest egg away. And so he comes downstairs, and he tries to convince the casino guy.
Please.
Like, hey, no, you know, we're just whatever. She doesn't know what she's doing. Blah. And the casino guy looks him right in the face, and he's like, so you don't think the other customers are going to want their money back if I give you – it's about money. That's all it's about. It's about money, and it's good for the league. I don't understand. I mean, what, you know,
I mean, so maybe that's a – maybe that's a person in a position where they're already making millions of dollars and they're not looking at.
Maybe.
I'll tell you, I always go back to this, and I'm sorry if it becomes a – I think it's good experience to lean on. I will always go back to – I think there's parallels here with the growth of the UFC. And I covered the UFC pretty early on, and I remember, like, the mainstream media was not going to cover it. I would – you know, we were selling, you know, deals, sponsorships. Hey, we got great UFC coverage. We travel – to the events, and I would get letters back from people like, we're not going to advertise with that sport. And look where it's come in 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw it there too. Like you had media people who thought it was like their own little thing, and then they were getting mad that, you know, mainstream people were getting in. They're like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's not yours. It's getting bigger, and it's for the masses. This is not your property. And, you know, you want to tell a lot of them, probably me included, like, you got good access to this, and you were covering it because no one else was. You're not talented.
Yeah.
And now more talented people coming in, and the fighters, do they get the money, all the money they deserve? No, but it's much bigger than it was. It went mainstream, and even in the sport, like, wait a second, what's going on here with the coverage? It's weird. It's this. It's that. But in the end, everyone's making more money. That's a good thing. You don't want to be on the other end where, you know, some of these 80 sports are like, wait, do they, what open for tennis and what's happening here with this sport that used to be really big?
Could you imagine if the NFL shooed other casuals away? Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The Cowboys wouldn't sell a jersey. None of them know what an A-gap is. I mean, there's Cowboys fans. Well, besides Ed Graney.
Can anyone talk football with a 90s cat? Just talk all football. No, I actually want to talk about Charles Haley and, you know, potentially stabbing Michael Irvin and people snorting coke off of whatever.
Right.
Like, that's part of it, too. And the drama does affect performance. It affects game plans. There probably is going to be a moment where someone blasts Caitlin Clark and someone on the Fever does react and freaking punches someone right in the head.
Hope so. I mean, I don't want people to fight, but I hope somebody defends her if that does happen.
I do. It's part of basketball. Fighting isn't necessarily part of basketball. But listen, heat on the court, rivalries, trash talk, intimidation, it's always been part of the game. And this is a good thing for the WNBA. So I am far from exhausted on this whole thing. I think it's dynamite. Tomorrow we got another viewing party. Aces on the road. You're going to be at
Hoosongs Cantina over there at Boca Park, Alta and Rampart. Awesome place. And I got to say this. And, you know, I always talk about I was infatuated with chicken salad. Best guacamole I have ever had. Ever. At Hoosongs Cantina.
Look at you.
You can go there and try it and tell me I'm wrong. You will not be disappointed. I promise. Be there at 5 o'clock.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
I found... Wasn't that hard? I'm just... I can't work these TVs. I found NBA TV has the Liberty and Sky on. So I'll probably watch the second half of that one. Because of Angel Reese. Only because of Angel Reese.
No, of course.
Not an SQ. I want to see him dirty it up a little bit in the second half. Let's get physical here.
Well, Caitlin's not playing. There's no reason to get physical.
They will get physical. I actually think that's sort of Witherspoon's the coach. It's sort of, I believe, why Chicago storylines. L. Duncan. It's why Chicago went double big in the top 10.
Yeah,
they got Cardoso, who's like 6'7" and I don't know 215, 210, and they got Reese. They drafted a 4 and 5. Who does that in basketball anymore? That's not the way the game is played. I think they're like, we're going to play bully ball.
Yeah,
let's go.
Joking aside, I've actually been impressed of how physical they are.
I love it.
I think they're more physical than the NBA right now a little bit.
So right now, 39-35, Liberty on top, on the road, 2.5 minutes left. We'll see what the attendance for this one is, because that's a big deal. 39-37, all right. Oh, Kennedy Carter scoring some points. Let's do it. Rough it up. Topics, different angles, Al. All right, I'll calm down. Boca Park tomorrow, Hoosongs Cantina. Greg will be out there. 5 o'clock tip. Vegas is in Dallas for the game. And it is happy hour when the game is going on. 3 to 6, get there early. And as Greg told you a couple minutes ago, you wear your Aces gear 15% off your overall bill. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I'm going to build on this one because we have a lot of different people coming in to host in a couple weeks. I'll just have you address some of these stories. I was just thinking ahead, like, what are the biggest stories, sports-wise, summer in Vegas? See if you latch on any of these. One, is Conor McGregor going to completely F over the UFC, but more importantly, Vegas, for UFC 303 at the end of June? Press conference in Dublin canceled. Says he has a minor injury. Do we trust him?
Why, no.
I shouldn't have mentioned that last part. I want to trust him. I want to believe.
Sure, but I mean, I don't know.
Just go ahead and say it. You're an idiot.
Well, no, it's kind of like, you know, boxing at some point. They're relying on these guys who were kind of, I don't want to say has-beens, but the guy hasn't been the main guy in a long time. And now it seems like they're kind of relying on people who you shouldn't be at some point. I mean, where's the new fresh blood?
Well, they should squeeze every ounce of blood out of the turnip. Yeah. But he's got to show up. That's the thing.
Well, yeah.
And Dana White's already said it, like, hey, when you know, he's got his whiskey, he's got this money, that money, the movie.
Yeah.
I almost called it Roadkill at the end. Spoiler, sorry. Roadhouse. But he's, and we've heard boxing and fight promoters say this, it's hard to get fighters who are bazillionaires to want to get up at 4 a.m. and train and, let's take some punches to the face. Yay.
Well, that's another problem with the older guys, though. They've already made their money.
So. And it was one of the, I don't know that Floyd Mayweather always delivered, like, great fights. He fought defensively, but you know what he did do? He showed up for the fight. Like, yeah. you could build a promotion around him. You knew he was going to be there. Connor, not sure.
Well, I think Floyd, too, doesn't get enough credit for his defense, but.
Which is a big part of the game.
I know. People,
and especially as you get older.
He runs. Watch some of Floyd fights in slow motion. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
The shoulder.
Yeah, the reflexes. The that's unbelievable.
Yep.
Same thing with boxing, though. I mean, every once in a while, they'll have a new fight, and it's like, yeah, it's going to be Roy Jones. I'm like, what? Guy's 60 years old. I mean, what are we doing? Mike Tyson's the biggest draw right now in boxing in 2024. Are you kidding?
Here's one for all the Aces fans listening. Ask Greg this tomorrow. You can chat with him about it. Another big story of the summer in Vegas. Will Kelsey Plum overcome her marriage drama and help the Aces win a third straight title? Or
yes.
Is it going to be a distraction that could take the team down?
No, she will.
Okay.
She's going to be on that, what is that, Stella Got Your Groove Back energy. You know what I mean? She's going to show everybody.
By the way, that could also be a distraction, though.
That's true.
But play basketball.
No, but she's going to come back and she's going to show everybody.
Breakups are not easy, right, Greg?
No, not at all.
Okay. Next story. July 18th, the Stadium Commission meets on the A's. We just had the news today that the A's are asking that 10% doesn't – they don't want to – they want to have 8 of their games out of the market when they're here in Vegas. They want to be able to go in special places for 8 games out of the 81.
Go away. Okay. I'm sick of them. I don't care anymore. I wanted to be nice. You know, I wanted to be nice about it. I was open to it. The $380 million sounded stupid, but I was like, you know what? Baseball, who cares? Now they're just taking advantage, and they're going to keep adding on conditions until they just break the entire city. Go away.
I had this one before, and apparently J.J. Redick's really close now to being the Lakers head coach. I had this one before J.J. Redick because I think this changes my storyline. Will this be the biggest NBA summer league ever? My rationale was Bronny, showcase. And this is after he gets drafted. If he doesn't get drafted by the Lakers and they didn't hire J.J. Redick, what's LeBron doing? Because that right before the NBA Summer League is kind of when all that contract stuff starts.
Sure.
So I thought Bronny would be a gigantic draw. LeBron's going to be around, but maybe some of the sizzle gets taken out of that if it's obvious that LeBron is going back to L.A.
I still think Bronny's a huge draw, though. I mean, you know, just to see the haters are going to watch this as much as the people that like LeBron. So it's going to be pretty much everybody's going to want to have eyes on see what he's doing.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
We've got about 2 minutes left here. Headline. Russia is using AI Tom Cruise to promote the Olympics. I got no idea what's going on here. What?
So there's a commercial going around, apparently, with Tom Cruise saying, like, hey, come to the Olympics, you know, whatever, Russians. And it's not real. It's just an AI video of Tom Cruise.
That's a great impression.
Yeah,
Olympics,
thanks.
Russians.
I don't know how to do
Sounds
it.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really bad AI.
So I was wondering, like, do you think, at what point, how close are we to, you ever see The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Okay.
And they, like, convict him on a fake video and stuff, and then they keep throwing other fake videos. How close are we to this, where some people's lives are getting absolutely ruined because of fake videos?
In the United States?
Yeah, I guess so, in the United States.
I don't know. That's not a good answer on my part.
That's all right.
I don't know how advanced this is yet. I know that I like trying to dupe people with AI press conferences, not Allen Iverson, but you like fake LeBron, fake Steve Alford.
Yeah.
And I try to come
the
back.
The fake LeBron's pretty good.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Alford was tremendous. And, you know, then we had some spoil sports on the show. We're like, no, it's not him, clearly. I'm like, just let it play for 3 minutes.
Yeah, we know that. Thanks. Yeah. I think that at some point, like, someone's going to get a conviction or something on something that's a video, a fake video, for the next 5-10 years.
So tomorrow we're on early, 2 o'clock start. We go to 4:30. That's when ESPN Las Vegas will go to Dallas for the pregame on radio. It's a 5 o'clock tip. So we got Aces basketball here tomorrow evening. You can join Salerno at Husong's, Boca Park, Rampart and Alta. Happy hour 3 to 6. A chance to win tickets for the Aces to a future game. And as Greg said. I'm proud of you, actually. I think I heard the read last time. It was guacamole, but I think you did the guacamole this time.
Guacamole, fantastic.